from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob
Forzak. I'm Ryan Harkness.
Now, you might recognize the fact that the sound is a little bit weird or strange. I am actually in a different city altogether. I am in Toronto helping a friend move into his enormous Mississauga house. So it's a little bit echoey because apparently he has no furniture for a house that could fit 30 people. Seriously.
I imagine this is the way it must work. Whenever people grow up and you know, move from like the smaller place to the much bigger places, there's a period of time where just half of it is empty. And I honestly have an opinion that most families, you know, that if they have that second living room, that never really gets filled, except with, like, you know, the Stairmaster you don't use and everything else. Just the shit that no one ever touches goes into that second.
Isn't it funny that everybody thinks that they need two living rooms? What the hell is that about? Why do you need two fucking living rooms?
When you have kids, you'll understand.
Oh, I see. So the adult living room and the kid living room?
It's so you can get the fuck away from your kids. And so your kids can get the fuck away from each other. That was how the second living room came into play when I was growing up. It was very useful in that regard.
Okay, well, you see, that's you had luxuries. In my day, you had your room, which was your own living room, and then the main living room where everybody fought for the TV. That's basically how it worked.
And you were open to ridicule from family members at all times, because that's just how it rolled.
Open to ridicule for what? The bad shows you watch?
Just as far as kids being cruel, you know?
That's the one thing that'll never change. You think that 10,000 years ago kids were dicks and cruel too?
Probably even worse. It was probably really Lord of the Flies back then, like to a degree that would, like, you know, the good son level all the time. Like, just gotta watch out. Fucking that kid's gonna kill me!
Yeah, so I went swimming with Billy and he never came back. Joke's on Billy. All right, today on the show we're going to talk about a few topics. The first one is we'll talk about Skepticon that just finished up. And there was a huge debate regarding that because there's a few atheist-centered topics. And a couple skeptics went and wrote about how atheism is taking over skepticism and that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to mention a man who lost the custody of his kids in Indianapolis because he's an agnostic. So obviously we're very pissed about that. We're also going to be talking about how the UN has removed a clause in their charter for protecting gays against execution. And also we'll be talking about an interesting new headline about how humans have some Neanderthal DNA in them. But first, let's talk about the Skepticon thing. Now, if you guys aren't necessarily, I guess if you don't read the atheist blogs, if you don't really have a lot of friends on Facebook that post this, you might not even know about this. But a couple of days ago, Jeff Wagg, who used to be the forum administrator for James Randi Educational Foundation forum, randi.org, put up a post saying that Skepticon had basically been commandeered by atheists. The main reason being that three of the talks were specifically about how Christianity is, well, you know, full of shit. And I wrote about this. Feringula wrote about this as well. His opinion, and this was my opinion as well, was that I thought that Jeff was really kind of going overboard with his accusations and fear that somehow skepticism was going to suffer from this new deluge, if you will, of atheists. But first, let me ask you, Ryan, because, I mean, we know that you're not necessarily the best skeptic. You don't take that shit seriously.
No, you know, I don't take the scientific portion of my atheism super seriously. I understand the fact that I should know it all better in order to really have a comprehensive grip on everything, but I say fuck that. I don't even stand on the shoulders of giants. I just look up and go, those shoulders are really high.
It's like I get dizzy when I'm up there. But let me ask you, do you think Do you think that there's a significant difference between, say, skepticism and atheism in general? Like, what do you know generally about this whole fucking debate?
Okay, so let me just start off. Let's talk for a second less about what I think about the whole skeptic thing. Let's see what this guy, because this is the guy that was associated with he was some kind of forum moderator on Randy.org. You say?
Yeah, basically, Randy.org is probably the biggest skeptic website, and he ran it for like something like 5 years or something like that.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say more. You know, to understand what the hell he's talking about, you have to understand his perspective of what skepticism is. And you know, when we saw James Randi a couple weeks ago, he pulled out that clip of him on Johnny Carson showing, like, a very, you know, it was a very 70s skepticism vibe off of it. And that's kind of, it's almost like a Scooby-Doo mystery type thing going on. And honestly, I think that kind of like myth-busting hard-nosed skepticism is what he's all about. And you know what? From his point of view, I completely agree that atheism has very little to do with skepticism. But just on a larger general, you know, what skepticism really is versus what the parts of it that he really enjoys, then I would say that he's obviously less right.
I think the problem here is twofold. Number one, you do have skeptics that are religious. And for the most part, I think skeptics are afraid of alienating other members that they still need on their side. Look, there's more than just religion that we have to be skeptical about. And what are we supposed to do about those people that are religious that are still saying, well, I'm against the whole anti-vaxxers, I'm against homeopathy, I'm against all the stuff that we're just like, yes, we need more voices. And sometimes I feel like we do a deal, we make deals with devils where we don't necessarily enforce, I don't want to say that it needs to be enforced, but we don't enforce skepticism on all aspects of a person's life. Now, from the perspective of Jeff, what he was trying to say is that skepticism deals precisely and particularly only with claims that are testable. And that everything else, like when you're talking about God, well, God is an untestable hypothesis. It lies outside of the realm of science, and therefore, it's out of our purview. But and this leads me to the second problem, which is essentially to say, well, I don't think religions do make claims that are untestable. You know, when's the last time you ever talked to a person whose concept of God was impossible to test? I mean, how many people say, prayer works, or Jesus was born of a virgin and resurrected, or Muhammad fucking went to heaven on a winged horse? These are fucking claims about physical reality. And this is where I think that a lot of skeptics are being disingenuous by saying, oh, well, it's an untestable claim. We're not going to go there. And ergo, religion has nothing to do with skepticism. I don't know if you remember this. A couple of years back, I wrote an article called "Whose God Are We Debating Anyway?" The point of the article was basically saying that sometimes when you have a discussion with a person about God, they can always try to play metaphysical or language tricks to try to get out of slippery situations. So they'll say, oh, well, God exists outside time and space, or God is invisible, or God is doesn't obey the laws of physics because he somehow exists outside of them. And, yeah, you can have this deist God that has absolutely no fucking, corporeal self, nothing that can be tested in the real world is entirely supernatural. But let me ask you this. How many people really believe in that God, in the God that plays absolutely no role in this universe, who doesn't answer prayer, who doesn't fucking get involved into shit? I would say that those are the minority of believers. These are deists, man. These are like the founding fathers, like fucking Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson, who themselves believed in the God that was kind of like a prime mover, right? The big igniter. He's the guy who starts the Big Bang and then says, see
ya. Yeah, they're closer to like a Cthulhu mythos belief than they are to an actual, like, Christian Lord belief. It's quite amusing, really.
I think that to some degree, if you are a skeptic, if you're honest about the process of looking at claims, of approaching it with that baloney detecting kit, how the fuck is religion safe from that? How do we not apply the baloney detecting kit to Christianity, to Islam, to Buddhism? I think it's fucking weak. I think it is cowardly to say, oh well, these aren't claims that are testable, therefore, you know, we don't need to worry about that, and it has nothing to do with skepticism. Sure, I would say, look, atheism isn't necessarily it's not about skepticism. It's just a fucking lack of belief. But I think that if you're a serious skeptic, you're going to at least be an agnostic, if not an atheist, merely from the fact that any idea of God is just itself just there's no proof.
It falls on its face pretty much immediately as soon as you start talking about it, just as far as how a skeptical person could actually manage to believe it.
It's like a scratch and sniff, you know? Like you can already smell the bullshit. You don't have to look far. What was cool, though, about the whole debate was it really was split down the middle, I got to tell you. Like, there were lots of people that were saying, oh, this is ruining skepticism because we're alienating people. And, you know, the hard-nosed guys like me or like Feringular were saying, what the fuck are you talking about? And plus, I felt that a big deal was made out of nothing because the Skepticon conference, of the 15 speakers, three of them were talking about religion. And I mean, 3 out of 15, that's not a huge number, right?
Yeah, but I can still understand maybe this guy's point where he says that, you know, we have things like, you know, anti-vax to deal with and things like climate change, and we're not going to get as far as we can on those with religious people if, you know, part and parcel of like the litmus test of being a skeptic and of being welcome into the skeptic community is the fact that you got to also, you know, admit that God doesn't exist. Or at least Jesus. Well, at least Jesus.
Why can't we just, you know, as soon as you walk in saying, I want to be skeptical, why the fuck is religion spared from this, though? I mean, like I said before, we're playing a devil's bargain where we're deciding, oh, all these issues are so important that we can't alienate people. And I just feel like it's the elephant in the room. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that religion is just complete fucking nonsense because they think it's really important to their lives. And you're saying, well, you're not going to attract flies with shit. To which I respond, that's exactly what flies want. They want shit.
Wait, but who are the flies? Is that us? Sorry, I got something in my throat.
You're going to be all right there, buddy?
I don't know. I'm dying. God, strike me down.
What were you asking? Who's the fly?
In this example, who's the fly and who's the shit?
Okay, the fly is the person who might be interested in skepticism that, you know, could be dissuaded because of the strong agnostic slash atheist element to the movement. But again, I mean, I think that that part is inevitable, right? Once people start asking questions about claims that don't seem to hold any water, then I really do think it's inevitable. My argument was saying that if you are a skeptic and a religious person, you're shitty at both. I'm sorry to say, you might be good at many aspects of skepticism, but there's one aspect of your life that you haven't put up to skeptical scrutiny, and I think that that's fucking weak. And sure, I'm a curmudgeon. I'm going to say, fuck supporting people's beliefs that are ridiculous. Luckily, not everybody is as hard-lined as I am. So, you know, we get plenty of different voices. I say fuck it, but guys like Jeff say, please, let's be diplomatic. You'll always have those people, and science bless them.
I'll always say that, you know, a person who believes in God but not homeopathy or acupuncture or auras or, you know, a whole bunch of that other stuff that technically, you know, conflicts with their religion. You know, I'd say that at the very least, they don't believe in a lot of that stupid stuff. It's a step in the right direction. Incrementally, it's where I want them to go. So
slowly, though. So slowly. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about a guy in Indianapolis. His name is Craig Scarberry, and he's like your average guy. He looks like he's a computer dude. I don't know why I say that, but he looks a bit overweight.
He's got glasses and stuff. Looks a bit dorky.
He looks like a nerd. And anyways, like most dads that are divorced, he used to share 50-50 custody with his wife in regards to their three children. Except for last week, he heard the bad news that his hours would be cut to about 4 a week, and he would be able to see his kids every other weekend. And the judge in particular that declared this, by the name of Judge George Pancol, this is what he wrote. The father did not participate in the same religious training as the mother, and he also noted that the father was agnostic. It goes on to say that when the father considers that when the father considered himself a Christian, the parties were able to communicate relatively effectively. So what he was saying is that basically the couple fighting had a lot to do with this man's agnosticism, and apparently this was a bad thing for his kids to be exposed to. So he found himself having reduced custody because of his lack of belief.
Yeah, so we all basically can see kind of what happened here. It sounds like she's quite religious and he is obviously not. I you know what, it wouldn't surprise me if he's the kind of person who's keeping that agnostic label on there, because atheist is not what you want to be called. It's bad news.
He doesn't even look like he didn't even look like he cared. I mean, he still sends his kids over to Christian
One of the things that he was saying, it was that something that he had been required to do as part of the agreement, is that the kids would go to this Christian daycare. So I think it's more him saying, I've allowed all of this to go on, even though it doesn't agree with my beliefs. It just sounds like it's a huge rub over the mother bringing up the kids religious. And man, is that ever a shitty, crappy situation for any person to be in? Like, let alone,
I mean,
yeah, it's just awful.
Imagine you're a dad, and I'm sure that there are probably people who listen to the show that are themselves divorced, and you know that when you're the dad, you get the short end of the stick, like, right away. It's gotten better, but for the most part, I mean, preferential treatment always goes to the mom, and that's just how society is. Because let's face it, there are a lot of shitty dads out there, right? Like, we admit this?
There's enough that there's a bias against us with I wouldn't say great cause, because I think it's really changed over the past generation or so, but, historically, sure.
Yeah, so we already have a bad reputation. It doesn't help. But you have to, like, it kind of chills me to the bone a little bit that of all the angles that somebody would try to use to keep your kids away from you, your lack of belief is going to be what indicts you. I mean, the guy was just basically saying, my agnosticism has ruined my life. And whenever somebody always asks me, hey, Jake, why do you do this? Why do you have a fucking podcast? Nobody cares. It's not a big deal to people. And you'll find that most of these individuals that say this, they happen to live in a place where it really isn't that much of a big deal. Or at least they don't think it is, until the day where it really fucking flies in your face of saying, oh, when a fucking judge who decides your future, your ability to see your kids, happens to probably be very religious and thinks that lack of religion is somehow negative for the children, he will punish your ass. He will do something terrible, like essentially only allow you to see your kids 4 hours a week. What the fuck does that mean? That means, like, that's less than an hour a day.
You gotta understand, that's basically, here's how it generally works, is that it's either like half and half, or it goes down to like visitation twice a week with special weekend privileges based on a variety of different factors. But that's like the standard cut down. And let me tell you what, and I understand this from a practicality point of view, because sharing kids like 50-50, having them living in two places, it fucking sucks for the kids. So that's a big reason why judges often push towards it being one or the other, but it often doesn't take a hell of a lot for that to change. And to me, you know, I agree it's fucked up, this whole agnostic thing and everything like this, but it really sounds like more the relationship between the guy and his wife is bad to the point, and that's the linchpin, I guess, and it's a fucked up linchpin, but it's just a nasty case of custody. Just like most of them, and it just happened.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, I was a product of a divorced home, and let me tell you something. Like, my dad used to see us every second weekend as well, and for the most part, when I was a kid, my dad was almost a fucking stranger to me. I mean, you say that it sucks. It sucks for the kids when they're split 50-50. Spoken from someone who saw his dad every other weekend, that sucks more, because you're not like in those critical years of your life. Your own father can be a stranger. Like, I really only knew my dad, like, well, When I was a lot older, and when I was 18 years old, I went and I had to work for him for a whole summer, and we spent like every day together, you know, working, and we also lived together. And that was an important time for me and my dad, and it was good that I did that. But if I hadn't, then I would be an adult who would have a strained relationship with his father basically because of that rule. Now, yeah, it sucks for kids, but I think what sucks more is having your parents be basically fucking strangers. I think that sucks more.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And it's always unfortunate when people can't get along well enough that, you know, they're able to deal with their kids together. But, I mean, holy shit, let me tell you about animosity between, you know, couples who have broken up. It is a real thing, and it is serious.
Well, you know what I find funny? There was a one of my friends has a is in a couple, and the guy is an atheist, and the wife is religious. And the reason why they're able to make this work is because they have an arrangement. They are not having children. And to anybody out there that is maybe contemplating starting a relationship with a person who is a believer, now I don't want to go around saying, like, you should not associate yourself with believers, but things can work when you're just two. But then as soon as you have some kids, things change, man. Things change. When you have to pick what the fuck you're going to teach these kids, and you have fundamentally different belief, as in he or she believes in make-believe, and you believe in reality, then you're going to have a big fucking problem, because guess what? You also tend to live in a society where there is a preferential treatment towards individuals that believe in fairy tales. So you, with your reason and your evidence-based reasoning, you will be discriminated against for essentially disbelieving in an invisible. All right, let's move on. The next topic I wanted to talk about was just something that a fan sent to me. And at first I thought it was so outrageous that maybe it was like one of those prank sites or, you know, just a bit of news that can't possibly be real.
I thought it was the same thing too, because it wasn't saying like what the UN resolution was or what the specific date when they voted on it. I was like, I Googled it and I couldn't find anything from like a serious large, like the New York Times or something like that, but it's there on a bunch of other sites, and it's there on the UN site. This actually happened.
Yeah, this could be one of those things where people don't really want to admit that this is happening, but essentially the United Nations passed, or they updated one of their resolutions that basically calls on countries to ban unwarranted executions of individuals. And the difference that they made, the little alterations that they made, is that previously it used to include people of different sexual orientations, but that was removed. And if you're wondering why it was removed, well, you have to realize that in the UN, a significant amount of countries, many of them in Africa, but also in the Middle East, have some pretty fucking strong opinions about gays, and they don't like them. And they apparently want to reserve the right to execute them. You might remember that Uganda had that whole kill the gays bill that was supposedly shelved. Well, you have to understand that Uganda is still waiting for everybody to forget about that fucking thing so that it can just pass it again and make it a not only a crime to be gay, but also a punishable by execution if you are found to be having sex while gay. And essentially what the resolution, like, here are a couple countries that I want to say should be fucking ashamed of themselves. There were 79 countries in total that voted to remove this reference. And in total, the one in particular that really bugged me, and I guess this is because I'm Canadian, and there are people right now that are listening to this fucking show that are risking their lives for the people of Afghanistan, who is one of the countries that decided that gays would not be allowed to be protected under this resolution. Afghanistan. There's also the Bahamas. The fucking Bahamas. If you even think about going to this country for your fucking vacation, I want someone to shove a cattle prod up your ass and fire it. Because, you know what, don't give these fucking people money. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but you got to keep in mind that like a lot of the countries that this happened with, that, you know, these, they had idiots in the United Nations that voted for it. You know, it doesn't represent the people. I mean, South Africa, here's a country that has one of the most progressive constitutions in the world. And you know, the whole thing is South Africa has a long history, and for a large period of time, they championed gay rights, and right now they just happen to have, you know, right-wing assholes in power who, you know, are doing less than proud by this country. And I'm sure that's the case with a lot of these other countries, is that it doesn't represent everybody in them. It's quite horrible, the whole situation, the fact that the UN itself is sliding back into this kind of homophobic hatred. But, you know, don't take it as an indication. Everybody in every one of these countries hates gay people unanimously.
Obviously, I'm not going to say that. But I feel like to some degree, as other countries start, you know, voicing themselves more in the UN and taking more of a role, they're sliding their human rights thing back. And in particular, gay rights. I mean, it seems as though we're not making a lot of headway. We are not making a lot of headway, particularly in Africa and the Middle East. Two areas, by the way, which are insanely religious. I mean, Africa is becoming increasingly religious all the time because it's the new battleground between Islam and Christianity. Bam, it's in Africa. You can divide it right along the middle. Everybody's just trying to save souls, and really what that means is they're trying to enslave them with these dogmatic ideas that make no fucking sense. And really, at the end of the day, not only are people becoming more ignorant and stupid, but they're definitely becoming, you know, increasingly homophobic. I don't know if you remember this a little while ago, before they tried to pass the whole thing, the kill the gays thing in Uganda, there was this one pastor who was going around showing all of these crazy movies claiming that gay people eat shit and they're evil and wicked. And people, of course, watch that and they believe it. And you have to, you know, imagine here in North America, we have a significant problems where gay teens kill themselves because, you know, they're vilified, people make fun of them, they feel like they can't fit in society. Now imagine what it must feel like. This is still in a society which is, what would you say is, well, we're not generally accepting, but it's a little bit better.
Grudgingly, right? Accepting?
Yeah, grudgingly accepting. It's grudgingly accepted here, and still you have people that just, they feel as though their lives are worthless and they shouldn't even pursue it past their teens. For fuck's sakes, I mean. And now we have other countries which are basically trying to actively kill these people. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the story of Alan Turing. Do you know who Alan Turing is?
Yeah, he's the cryptologist, right?
Exactly. He was the one that broke the ciphers for the Nazis. In fact, it was so good that the Allies had to pretend that they couldn't figure out, like that they hadn't figured out the code because they were too afraid that the Germans would catch on. So his deciphering was so good that essentially they could have figured out where every German U-boat was during the war because of his work. Unfortunately for Turing, he was also homosexual, and he was persecuted, despite the fact that this man was a hero, that he had saved, like, how many lives? I mean, there are some people that credit him for the Allied victory. I don't know if I'd go so far, but being able to uncover your enemy's intelligence, that's pretty fucking important. And meanwhile, this man died, you know, disgraced. They gave him two options. They gave Alan Turing two options when they found out that he was gay. One, chemical castration, okay, or two, lifetime in jail. Now, if you're wondering what happened to him, he basically, there are two stories. One is that he swallowed a cyanide, or two is that he was actually poisoned. Either way, it fucking sucks. And this was a man who essentially played a key in Allied victory and still persecuted and vilified. We have a significant problem as a society and as a planet where we feel somehow that this kind of behavior is all right. I mean, you know who else actually kind of surprised me that's on the list? Because most of the people on the list will not surprise you. You know, if you got North Korea, you got Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, these places are not surprising. What did surprise me on that list? Russia.
Yeah, that was pretty strange.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't quite realize that that homophobia was alive and well in Russia to that extent, but there you go. I mean,
I just find it kind of disturbing and weird that it got brought up. Like it was brought up by a small African country called Benin, and it was kind of cobbled together by like Morocco was involved as well. And it's just weird that these countries kind of got together. put this thing up, got the votes. I mean, and the creepy thing about it, you said that it got 79 votes, so 79 countries voted for it. 17 against it, 17 absentee, like 17 people just said, we're not going to vote on this. There was like 25 other countries that were absent as well. Why they couldn't scrape the votes together to win this, it just, I mean, doesn't it creep you out that a forum that has a Universal Declaration of Human Rights that that supposedly is supposed to protect all human beings and give them, you know, certain inalienable rights, all of a sudden this organization starts having shit like this happening within it. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's not only, you know, individual governments around the world that are having these kinds of things chipped away.
I think it's a symbol of the fact that we're having a backslide in terms of our progress to get gays and lesbians to be, fully recognized as human beings. Like, this is literally the problem here. They're not being recognized as full human beings.
I could see it as being more of a backlash than a backslide because, you know, a lot of these countries that voted for this, you know, removing the protections, they're of the opinions that gays, there are only gay people where you allow there to be gay people, that being gay is a choice, and that if they just don't allow gays in their country, they're going to keep gays out. And they really believe this. They think that, you know, being gay is like a Western idea that we're trying to propagate and that they won't allow it. And this is literally their way of thinking. And they're so far behind us on this, it's kind of like that, it's kind of like a situation where it's not a clash of civilizations, but there's a clash on this, and these people are nowhere near, like, we got people in America who are nowhere near ready to give this up. Do you think that people in Pakistan and India and, like, Ghana are ready to give this up and be okay with the homos?
Well, I think what I meant in terms of backslides, I think the backslide is the fact that, I mean, you talked about all these countries that abstain from voting. And really, for me, that is part of that backslide, where people don't want to really stand up for issues which are controversial. I mean, 79 countries is not a majority, but it is when everybody else pussies the fuck out. And that's really the problem, is that you have lots of people that are fighting very passionately to eradicate homosexuality in violent ways. Uganda is one of them, but I think that if Uganda passes such a like this law, you're going to see lots of other African countries that are going to model themselves after that law. Really what I find scary.
Many African countries already do. I mean, it's not rare for an African country to have like specific laws against sodomy that will put you in jail for a very long time if they just don't crack your skull open and kill you there, you know, as part of the mob action.
Fun times. Hey, all you gay people in Africa that somehow listen to this podcast, run away. Find a way to move or immigrate or something. And here's something I wonder. This is just a question that I'm going to ask. Somebody out there hopefully can answer me. Is it possible to claim amnesty if you're gay in these countries? Because I bet you you can't. I bet you cannot do that. And that's another thing that I would find is a bit of an indictment on us. Is if we are not willing to protect them in their countries, we should be willing to protect them here. It's as simple as that. It's like, leave these countries, go here, we will give you amnesty. Because honestly, it's not a safe place for them. And I don't see why we can't, open our doors and say, come on in, come on in. Trust me when I say, the more gay people you have in society, typically the better off your society is. These are hardworking, spendthrifty people. Trust me, I know a significant portion of our fan base is gay and disproportionately pay for our bonus shows. And we're very happy about that. And we want to keep you as customers.
We want to keep you guys alive. We want to save you.
we do. With you dead, we just won't make as much money. Okay, let's move on to the last thing that I heard in the news. This is pretty cool. It's basically a new discovery about how Neanderthal genomes are found in all non-African humans. So I don't know if any of you out there remember Neanderthals. They're kind of like I think Neanderthals have a bit of a reputation in our nomenclature, where if you call somebody a Neanderthal, typically you're saying that he's stupid or, you know, has
uncivilized.
he's uncivilized or you know, what have you. And there was for a long time, scientists assumed that Neanderthals and humans had some kind of fucking war that we won because, you know, Neanderthals essentially disappeared, I think, about 23,000 years ago, right in the middle of, I think, the last ice age. So they were gone. We replaced them. And so the thought was generally that we killed them all, except for recently they found because with we have bones of Neanderthals, but the problem when you're trying to sequence bones is that there are microbes that kind of like invaded and their genomes will somehow find themselves in there. So it's really hard to kind of differentiate. But a team of scientists have been worked diligently to try to compensate and correct for that. And what they found when they sequenced the genome is that of all non-African humans share between 1% and 4% of Neanderthal DNA, proving the theory that was floating around, other than the we've eradicated them all, that we interbred with them rather than, you know, kill them off.
We bred them out.
We fucked them to death, and we took their kids. Here's what I thought was interesting about this article, too. They mentioned that each person has a different amount of Neanderthal in them. So it's not like everybody has the same 4%. Or what have you? It's between 1% and 4%, so it can be different. But it's a different part of the genome. I contend that I think I have more of the genome that leads to the big browness. I think I have that.
So anybody with the unibrow thing is got that part of the Neanderthal genome, and I suppose I have the Neanderthal genome that just makes my penis massive and gigantic. It's almost annoying, I tell you.
Yeah, you know, it's like you have to buy special underwear, and you just have to tape it to the side of your leg. Otherwise, it gets really distracting, right?
And the women don't leave me alone.
Yeah, they seriously don't. The amount of times they just call on you and say, "Can you bring your Neanderthal dick over? Because I need you to ravage me." No, that's not happening.
Take me back to the Bone Age.
Oh, were you waiting on that one? Did you work on that one all day?
No, actually, I was kind of disappointed with that being the worst thing my brain could conjure up immediately, but I went with it, and I'm okay with it.
I think that it's going to go down as one of the better little quips that you've had over the years, so feel proud of it.
That's
the
good.
Bone Age.
When I listen back to radio shows and I hear some of the quips, usually they're just generally quite embarrassing.
Oh, come on now. You're being too difficult on yourself.
Well, the number of times I've announced that I'm going to go to the bathroom on the radio show is numerous.
Yeah, but what does that mean? That's nothing important. Oh, I went to the bathroom. Now, if you had said something embarrassing.
No. It was like, go take a piss. Yeah, I mean, I got to admit, I am an idiot on some of these recordings.
I'll tell you what.
There's
I'm
proof.
I'm remastering all the shows, so I'll just take those out. Is that what you want me to do?
No, just leave them be. Quote, unquote, no regrets.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Before we go, because this is going to be a bit of a short show since I am away, and these are hard because not being able to see one another kind of makes us what's the word I'm looking for?
It's less romantic. Let me tell you what.
Well, we're so used to our groove of being in the same room that we're still just trying to get used to this. So if you're listening to the show and you're thinking to yourself, you know, this show was not on par with many of the other quality shows that these two gentlemen have done, I would say that the reason is because we're experimenting with this doing the show over long distances, which we'll be needing to get better at as we become adults and essentially move away from one another.
Yeah, can't keep living together.
Like, no.
Like teenagers.
More like husband and wife, you know. I need to divorce from Ryan, but it doesn't mean we need to divorce ourselves from the show. We just have to learn how to get better at this whole long-distance radio thing. So hopefully we didn't fuck it up too bad. Hopefully this is not one of our worst shows. I've been going and remastering some of the older shows, so I know how bad we've been in the past. So I can tell you that we're not quite as bad as our first shows, which were so fundamentally boring. Holy shit. I don't even know how we survived, buddy. It's a fucking miracle.
Yeah, I'm always amazed that anybody listens to this.
Yeah, miracles do happen. There's a bit of news of one of the new features that I'm going to be offering. I know there's a lot of listeners out there that for one reason or another can't afford the bonus shows, or maybe they think $20 is too expensive. In a couple of weeks, I'll be featuring a new edition, which will be a newsletter. And the cool thing about this newsletter is if you sign up with each newsletter, you'll get a link to a bonus show. So you'll be able to get free bonus shows from simply signing up to our newsletter and having to endure our propaganda as we try to sell you products and other things, which you can casually ignore if you wish. But nevertheless, we will inundate you with exciting products that are atheist-based. And for that, we will incentivize it by providing you more of our voices. And apparently that's something that you want. So that's a cool new thing that we're adding. And again, I don't know if everybody has been paying attention. I mentioned it before. We're including show notes in the podcast. So if you have the ability to see the lyrics in songs, check out the lyrics. It has the notes for the shows. You're going to love it. It's got the links and just all the topics that are covered. So you don't even need to wait for us to tell you what's going to be on the show to find out. And that's just part of our new services that we're putting on with all these cool new features. We're just trying to grow. We're just trying to be – we want to essentially be the Rolls Royce of atheist podcasts. Can I say that, Rolls Royce of atheist podcasts?
The Royal – I don't know if we're Rolls Royce. We'd be like the Kawasaki Ninja or something like that.
Okay, fine. We want to be the Kawasaki Ninjas of the atheist podcasts, and all these things that we're doing. These are all based on suggestions from fans, things that you guys have been telling us. And my rule, my number one rule when it came to taking this shit more seriously was I'm going to listen to the suggestions of patrons. So if you guys have any other suggestions, stuff that you like, stuff that you'd like to see changed or altered, that kind of stuff, we appreciate your suggestion. Doesn't mean we'll do everything you tell us to, but we will listen to you. And I hopefully these kinds of things are proof that we do. And before we go, again, if you are a fan of the show, you want to hear more, we offer a bonus show. That's for $20 a year. I said year, not a month, a year. So that's $1.67 a month. It's the price of a fucking cup of coffee, and you get to have one extra show a week. And trust me when I say, most of you commuters out there that listen to us, you need this. You need this crack. You need it now. So sign up, and you'll benefit from all the backlog of shows. Like, how many are we at? Like, almost 70 now or something?
I don't know. I still don't think that you can even buy a cup of coffee for $1.67.
Well, you think that's
that whole cup of coffee a day, it just reminds people that they might want to be spending it on African kids, too. I just say, screw them. Ignore them. They vote the bad way on UN Council meetings, so just give the money to us instead.
let the bigots starve. Is that what you're saying? This is very controversial here. Okay, we'll catch everybody for the bonus show. And with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good atheist day, everybody.